So I hope you had a great New Year's Eve. I don't know how many of you maybe even stayed up long enough to watch some celebration somewhere, but I was a little disappointed last night because after we had an opportunity to watch the news, 10 o'clock rolled around, we couldn't even find the news on any channel. There was some, either it was Miley Cyrus or it was Ryan Seacrest or it was Nashville, or it was who knows where, Paris, Dubai. I mean, they just all were doing some kind of celebration, and there was no news. And yet, woke up this morning, and all of a sudden it was 2023, just like that. So the question is, have you made your promises yet? Have you made your New Year's resolutions? I know a lot of people that say, I don't make resolutions. Well, guess what? You just made a resolution. You just made a resolution. It's sort of like the person who says, there is no such thing as absolutes. You just made an absolute statement. So if there's no such thing as absolutes, you can't even make that statement. Well, resolutions are that kind of a thing that we do, and even if we say we're not going to do it, we've already done it. But a lot of people do. It's nice to promise to do things that are going to help us with ourselves. You know, we're going to maintain our health a little better. We're going to eat a little better. We're going to exercise a little more. We're going to read more, study more. Do something that is going to help us out physically or mentally or emotionally. It's nice to make those promises for self-improvement, but how about spiritual improvement? You know, sometimes we think about that too. I'm going to read the Bible a little bit more. I'm going to pay more attention to my spiritual life. I'm going to make some spiritual resolutions. I'm going to attend church a little more frequently. I'm going to go to Sunday school. There's this small group that people have been inviting me to, and I keep putting them off, but this time I'm going to come. And it seems like we all have those opportunities, but whether we do something or not is really the issue. To be honest, though, we need to make resolutions. And whether we admit it or not, we do. We make promises or we make resolutions. They may not be verbalized. They may not even be written down. But we all make resolutions. The reason that I know that is because we don't do anything without first deciding to do it. And that decision is our resolution. Resolutions are the first step of any good quest. We have to decide. We must decide to attempt a journey in order to make it a reality and to make those promises before we see it through. I don't think I'm too far off the mark if I would say that every single person in this room has made some sort of a promise to God. Maybe you've been immersed into Christ and you made a promise. I'm going to serve the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's a promise I'm going to make. It doesn't matter what I do with my life. It doesn't matter what I do with my education. It doesn't matter what circumstances I'm in. The Lord is going to be my God. And we made that promise. Now, we may not have all kept that promise, but we made it. You don't start the journey until you first decide that you're going to go on the journey. Well, 2023 is the beginning of a quest for First Christian Church of Villa Grove. We're participating in something that I'm calling the pursuit or in hot pursuit. I may use those terms too. It's a year-long series in pursuit of Jesus because so many people, they say they're a Christian, but when you ask them, well, who is Jesus? Well, wasn't he that baby born in a manger? And that's about the extent of it. Oh, maybe they realize that, you know, around Easter time, he did die for our sins. But beyond that, do you know the person of Jesus? Do you know the preaching of Jesus? Do you know the power of Jesus? Do you know the passion of Jesus? For the next 52 weeks, we're going to take a look at all of those areas of Jesus. We're going to begin a quest. As I was looking through Scripture, I came across a text that I think is kind of a good motivation for this series. The text is Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. It's a parable of Jesus, and I'm just going to read it for you. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." Just let that sink in for a second. It's a pretty simple parable. It's called the parable of the pearl of great price. And it's really pretty self-explanatory when you take a look at it. The kingdom of heaven is so valuable, so precious, so important that a person was willing to sell everything they had. Now, that's one of those expansive words. If you're ever looking in the Bible and you come across a word like everything or nothing or all or always, these are expansive words. What that is literally saying is there was nothing that this guy owned that he didn't sell. He sold everything. Now, just imagine yourself. Would you be able to sell your cars, your house, your clothes? Would you be able to cash in your IRAs? Would you sell everything for one pearl of value beyond what you could imagine? The kingdom of heaven is that. How do you get to the point where we are willing to sell everything for the priceless value of the kingdom of God? How do we get there? Well, it's a journey. I don't know that this merchant, when he was new to buying pearls, would have been able to do that. But at some point, he got to the place where when he found this single pearl of great, great value, now he was ready. And so this is a journey that we take, and there are going to be stumbles along the way. There are going to be times where we're not going to want to do it. But is this something that we need as individuals, as Christians? Do we need to be on this quest so that we get to the point where when we really discover the kingdom of heaven, we are willing to give our heart, soul, mind, and strength, sell everything we have so that we can be a part of the kingdom of heaven? It's a quest. It's a journey. And I think everyone in this room, while we may be satisfied with our relationship to Jesus, you know, we talk to him, we worship him, we are content at times with our understanding of him. We don't do anything extra, but, you know, he's good with us. We're good with him. We kind of feel at times like Jesus is our best friend sitting on a park bench next to us. And we're okay with that. We can tell him our troubles. On occasions, we can celebrate with him, rejoice with him. We're okay with that. But do we ever wish for more? Do we ever wish for more faith? Do we ever wish for more ability to forgive? Do we ever wish that we could love as Jesus did? Or believe in God as Jesus did? Or pray as Jesus did? Or be able to share the gospel as Jesus did? Do we ever get to that point where we wish we didn't harbor anger in our hearts? Where we knew the difference between holy, righteous anger and evil anger? Do we ever get to that point where we can see people as valuable as Jesus did? I do all the time. And I know it's a quest. And I know it's a journey. And I pray and I hope that I am, well, that I'm kind of like the disciples of Jesus. There's another example in Scripture where Jesus, who walked with his disciples, they're in a boat. Maybe you remember this. Jesus is sleeping in the ship or in the boat. They're trying to cross the sea. And a storm comes up, and Jesus is asleep. And as they are trying to bail the water out of the boat, as they're trying to hang on to things, they're afraid. Scripture just plain out says that they're terrified. Their journey is not going the way that they wanted to, and Jesus seems to not care because he is asleep. In fact, they kind of even say that. And so they finally wake up Jesus, who is asleep. They had already tried everything to keep their boat from sinking, and finally they wake him up. Here's a man that they had already spent a couple of years with. And they say, "Help us." And Jesus wakes up and he calms the sea. And you want to know what is most remarkable to me about that passage? Their reply or their response. They simply said, "Who is this man? What kind of a man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." They had already spent a couple of years with Jesus, and still they were baffled. What kind of a man is this? To me, that's where I hope this year-long journey takes us, to that place where we are still astounded, even though we have spent time with Jesus, even though we have celebrated with him, we have worshiped him on a consistent basis, we have taken communion with him, we have enjoyed the fellowship of the church, yet our boat isn't always going to be smooth. Our seas are not always going to be waveless. And from time to time, when Jesus walks into our life and calms that sea, sometimes we're just going to go, "Ah, what kind of a man is this? I never thought that that was possible." My friends, this year-long quest is designed to help us. It's designed to help us pursue the Jesus of Scripture. We may have to confront some of our preconceived ideas about Jesus. We may have to take a look at our relationship to him. Are we really as close to him as he wants us to be? We're going to take a look at maybe some areas, some doctrinal issues, and each one of those areas is going to cause us to do some deeper thinking. And unfortunately, though Jesus has had more impact on humanity than any other human that has ever been born, a lot of people don't want to draw close to him. They don't mind Jesus being in church on Sunday, but they don't want him to be at their work. They don't want him to be in their hobbies. They don't want him to be with their friends. They don't want him to be in the places that they go or the things that they do. Let's just keep Jesus in our box that is the shape and size of a church building. Well, when we have a quest for Jesus, he is going to expand us. And that will be uncomfortable for some people. And unfortunately, though the impact that Jesus has had on people is really truly incalculable, the reality is that fewer and fewer people in this world are giving their lives to Christ. And sadly, we're finding that in our families and in the people that we know and the people that we love. Maybe at one time they were faithful, but they're just not seeing Jesus as important anymore. Fewer and fewer people are taking the time to get to know Jesus and answer the question, who is Jesus really? They're content with a God of their understanding. They're content with the God that they can figure out. They're content with a God that doesn't really require them to change. That's not the God you're going to find in Scripture. Too many people want a God of grace and mercy, but they don't necessarily want a God of truth and discipline. They don't want a God that will punish them when they do something wrong. They want a God who's just going to hold them like those pictures that you see of Jesus holding that sheep very tenderly, very compassionately. That's the Jesus that they want. Well, together over the next year, we're going to hopefully discover a pearl of great price. We're going to hopefully follow the directions that the Holy Spirit gives us. We need to rediscover the Jesus of Scripture, because Scripture points us the way to that Jesus. And the strategy is going to be very simple. Mark Moore has written that book, Quest 52. He has selected 52 events from the Gospels that will help us to rediscover, or maybe even discover for the first time, Jesus. His preaching, his person, his power, and his passion. And if you want to dig deeper, as I have mentioned, you can purchase the book for yourself. The book looks like this. There are two versions of it. One is an adult version, the one on your left, and the one on your right is called the student edition. That's just for younger learners, students. Okay, it doesn't mean that you have to have a student edition. But if you want to purchase the book, you can. You can, I don't know, for $12, $15 or whatever they are, you can walk this journey with us on a deeper level. And with a little bit of effort, with a couple of bucks, hopefully you will discover that pearl of great price. That treasure that is hidden in a field that propels you to be willing to give up everything so that you can be a disciple of Jesus. Now, again, everything is not just talking about personal property. It's also talking about family. And I know that there are some people who say, well, if Jesus required me to give up my family, then Jesus is the one that's going to go. Can your family get you to heaven? And I know that that's probably the hardest choice that some people may have to make. But isn't that the point of being a follower of Jesus? Now, I'll be honest with you. I wish I did it perfectly. I don't. I wish that everything that I said up here, that I was that person that was willing to give up everything, all of my possessions and all of my family and everything, so that the cause of Christ, even my life, I'd give that up. I'm not there yet. I'd like to be. And I hope to be, and I pray to be, but I want to be on the journey. And I want you to be on the journey also. Because it's only a decision that we can make. Nobody can make this decision for you. I can't. Your spouse can't. Your kids can't. Your parents can't. Nobody can make this decision to join the quest but you. The quest will likely demand more than we expect, but the value is probably more than we could ever hope for. Kind of like that pearl of great price. Sometimes you find a pearl you didn't even know you were looking for. But once you find it and once you discover it, are you willing to give your all so that you can possess it? That's kind of what we're on. A journey together, a quest, a pursuit of Jesus. And I invite you to join us and walk with us together, supporting one another as we find this true pearl of great price.